services, I really feel led in my heart to help us become disciples. Believers, many get born again and they become converts. They're born again, but their lives don't really reflect it. In other words, the blessing that God has made provision for us, the health, the wealth, the peace, the joy, the destiny, that many believers never walk in that. They never know how to do that. And that's not their fault. That's typically the ministry's fault, the fivefold ministry's fault for not properly training. And the Bible never says, Jesus never said make converts. He said make disciples. Disciples are taught ones that live by the word. Their life reflects a lifestyle that is represented in the word. And so, as a pastor, I see it. Many believers' lives, they have the exact same issues that the world has because they don't do things differently. They go to church, but just going to church isn't enough. It doesn't even matter if you know this whole Bible. If you don't live it, it doesn't make any difference. Are you? The Bible says, "Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, deceiving yourself." And so that's what we're doing. We want to help you to live out what God has for you. And one of the first things that we really have to understand is our purpose in life. Our purpose in life. You're not just alive to take up space and go to work. You're alive for a reason. And many people never discover that. And it is a discovery versus an attainment. You've been given the gifts. You've been given the talents. All of us have them. And all of us have unique gifts from God. But many haven't ever tapped into it and begin to walk in the grace that they've been given. But we have to understand who we are according to the scriptures. If ever you have a question, I did it at one time in my life, who am I? Why am I alive? And you can't find that out without God. There's no way. He's your maker. He's your creator. You with me? That's why the manufacturer always has an owner's manual with the product. Every product, any product that's made, it comes with an owner's manual because the owner's manual has exclusive right to determine what it was made for, its purpose. And this Bible is that book for you and I. God, we are his product. And God is more interested in your success and your victory than you are. He knows, you get it? You know, if you have a Ford, a brand new Ford, they give a warranty because they want it to work. They're more interested in its success than you are, even though you're paying for it. Why? Because their name's at stake. Their name is stuck on the thing, and if you've ever seen these companies that have recalls, it affects their bottom line. If something's wrong with the product, y'all follow what I'm saying? And so God is the same way, and the Bible says it all over throughout. For his name's sake, do these things. For his name's sake. Why his name's sake? Because you're his product. And as a representative of God, God wants you successful. He wants you blessed. Amen. And that doesn't mean walking around being millionaires and that kind of thing. It just means being what you're created to be. A bird is successful when he's able to fly and be the color, you know what I mean? Y'all ever wake up in the morning to birds? Isn't it a beautiful thing? It's just so beautiful when you wake up and hear them singing and whistling. And a fish outside of doing what he's created to do is going to be a very miserable fish and die. Take a fish out of its environment that is created to thrive. And same with you. We're created for environment. We're created all those things. But one of the first things we've got to understand is from a biblical perspective, why we're alive. And that's what we're sharing this, the believer's ministry. And we're on part five, so we're deep in now. We're on week five because we're in the fifth Wednesday of the year. Amen? So we started out, we started talking about that there's four categories of ministry. Every single believer is born again to be in the ministry. That doesn't mean quit your job and go start a church. I've seen many people do that right here in this church. It never succeeds. Never works because there's a proper way to do it and an improper way to do it that won't succeed. And so we've been talking about that from the scriptures, why you're born again, why you're alive, because it's directly connected to your career. It's directly connected to everything in your life. Are y'all with me? The God and church should not be some peripheral thing that's like in the back seat of your life. It should be your life. Your life is surrounded. If it's not connected to God vitally in relationship with him, you'll never be able to be. You get what I'm saying? When God created, wow. When God was in Genesis chapter 1, the law of Genesis is this. Everything creates after its own kind. And God, when he was creating the heavens and the earth, you see it in Genesis 1, everything that he created, he spoke to the thing that his creation needed to stay connected to thrive, to be what it was created to be. In other words, when God was creating the animals, he didn't say animals be, he said let the earth bring forth the animals. When God was creating the trees and the plants, he said let the earth bring forth the seed-bearing tree, et cetera, et cetera. He said, when the fish, let the sea bring forth. Why? He spoke to the environment that was necessary for that thing to live. It had to stay connected to that. In other words, you take a tree out of the ground, it dies. It must stay connected to the ground that he spoke to. You follow me? When God created man, who did he speak to? Himself. Let us make man after our own image. So when God spoke to himself, he was showing us that in order to be what you've been created to be by the Creator, you must stay connected to the Creator. And so when man detached himself through sin from the Creator, he instantly began to die. The dying process started. So being born again is getting reconnected to your source. But in order to thrive, just like a tree, if you take any of those trees out in the parking lot and take them out of the ground, you may not look like it's going to die yet, but give it some time. So you must stay connected to God and understand that the life force comes from him. That's your source. Are y'all with me? And you got to stay plugged into him. But there's a reason for you being alive, and the Bible describes it, and that's what we're talking about. And one of the main things we got to understand and get clear is that the ministry is for every believer. Your purpose is connected to you being in the ministry. And so we've been explaining that again. We're on week 5. So we found out all that's in Ephesians, chapter 4 of Ephesians. Kind of explains it. Just the first verse lets us see it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the what? Come on, all together. Worthy of what? Divine calling to which you have been called. Say, I'm called. Yeah, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. As believers, we've been called to a different lifestyle. And I say it so often, but it's so true, that most believers are more discipled by the world and the culture than the Word and Christ. They gain their identity more from the world than they do from the Word, which is why their lives are so stinky. Which is why they take offense when I say, no, believers should not be cohabiting, living together, having sex without marriage. They get offended at that. What? I can do what I want to. You can do what you want to, but you're not going to thrive and be what God's called you to be. There are consequences for your behaviors. You get what I'm saying? That's what he's saying right here. And the whole chapter 4, 5, and part of 6 is all about that walk. But what I wanted you to see here, and the whole book is just describing this, and I've covered that aptly over the last several weeks. So there's 4 areas of ministry, 3 every believer is born again to be in. And I've covered these, so I'm just going to review real quickly. The first area of ministry is ministry to the Lord. Ministry to the Lord. Every believer is born again to do that. Every believer. I was reading today, just Cadillacing through 2 Chronicles and Kings, reading some about Hezekiah and some of the stuff that I'm going to preparing for Sunday. And I could see that the Levites and the priests, they were called to bring up offerings, to sing praises, all the stuff. We are the current day New Testament Levites. We are the ministers to the world. Are you with me? And our first ministry is vertical. It's to the Lord. Ministry just means serving. Every believer is called to minister to the Lord in praise, in worship, and in lifestyle. In living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So no longer a blood sacrifice. Jesus made that blood sacrifice. But we present our bodies a living sacrifice. So that's just saying our lifestyle isn't like the world. Come on, say amen right there. Then we are called to worship. Worship is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle of homage and bowing down to God. It's putting him first in everything. That's what worship is. It's blowing kisses to God with our life. Then thirdly is praise. We are to live a lifestyle of praise, a sacrifice of praise. And so that's why we open our service with praise and then with giving, tithing and giving. Every believer should be a tither and giver. And many people say, well, one of these days I'm going to be able to tithe. No, that's like saying one of these days I'll be able to praise when my life comes out all right. No, you do that now. You get what I'm saying? Oh, one of these days when my life ain't so stinky, then I'm going to start praising. I'm going to start worshiping. No, start that now. That's how it gets converted. Are you with me? Tithing and giving. Every believer should be doing those things. Now, let me just say this. This is really progressive. If you never get this vertical ministry to the Lord right, if you never understand humbling yourself before the Lord and worshiping the Lord, there is no way you'll ever do marriage right. No way. No way, because the Bible says this over and over. The Bible doesn't say husbands love your wives like love your wives. It says husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. But if you don't know how to receive that love and that exchange of love, you'll never know how to love your wife right. The Bible doesn't say wives submit to your husbands. It says wives submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. The Lord is the centerpiece of everything that we do. We work. Our work is as unto the Lord. So if you never get this vertical thing right, trust me, the horizontal will not be right. The person-to-person relationships don't work out right. We have to get this vertical. So that's why Jesus even said, the first commandment is that, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, and you got it? So that first area of ministry to the Lord. Second one is to the body, right? To the body. That all, each and every one of us are called to the body of Christ. And the examples that Paul gave us, all in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, were all about, he said, we are a body. And just like the your body is a body, try your body without an arm, or try your body without a leg. If something is missing, if one part of your body isn't doing its part, I mean something simple like a tooth. Ever have a tooth that ain't right? You got a chew on one side, or just forget it, I can't even chew every time I come. One part causes a problem. One part not doing what it was made to do causes a problem. And such, that's what Paul was describing in the body of Christ. When we aren't doing what we're born to do with the grace that we've been given, if we just, and watch, you'll never do it if you don't get this vertical thing right. You won't feel the need to. You won't feel the need to if you don't get this right. The vertical, the horizontal will never get right. Y'all with me? Okay, so we covered that all aptly. Everybody's called to serve the body of Christ. Amen. That's why we begin giving unique gifts. Then the third area of ministry every single believer is called to is ministry to the lost. And again, if you aren't serving in your church, if you aren't loving the Lord, there's no way you care about the lost. You care less. Who cares if people are going to hell? That ain't my problem. But when you have a heart towards God and you're worshiping God, you have a heart for the lost. You have a heart for the needy. You have a heart for, you don't want to just see somebody going to hell. You don't want to see somebody going through devastating abuse and going, and then on their way to hell too? Come on, somebody, you don't want to see that. So do you see it? It's progressive though. So we all have to have that first area of ministry first. Then that's to the Lord. Second area of ministry to the body. You get what I'm saying? You will feel no need or desire to show up at church if you don't have a real relationship with Christ. You'll have no need. It's like, big deal. I don't need that. You don't know what you don't know. Are you with me? Okay, and then, so that third area is ministry to the lost, and we read that in 2 Corinthians, that all of us have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody. God needs you. He needs you utilizing your gift at work so it puts you in a unique environment that I, as in the fivefold ministry, won't be. The fivefold ministry is not going to change the world, and we're not called to do that. We're not called to influence the culture of the world. The world isn't going to get saved because of preachers. The world's going to get saved because of you. It's you in your environment, in your family, in the world that you live in. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so that fourth and final area of ministry, not everyone is called to that, but the Bible lets us know, as the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. Few are chosen for this fifth area, but it's contingent on those other areas. If you never get this relationship with Christ right, never have a commitment to the body of Christ, never feel the obligation to minister to the lost, you're disqualified for fivefold ministry. And I'm going to show you scriptures about that tonight. Are y'all with me? And it's clear, we need to understand this. We clearly need to understand this because so that you understand, not only, and I explained it last week, but not only do you go to work to get a paycheck, you actually don't, you work for Christ first. That's your first obligation, to Christ. You are a representative of Christ. I read all that last week. So you can always, by the way, go online and see all of our messages and get all the notes. They're all on our website. Amen? All right, so we covered all that, the ministry of reconciliation. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the fivefold ministry so that you understand. There are some of us that are called to that area of ministry. And so we want you to understand and to understand the obligation and requirements of the fivefold ministry, and just so you know what it's all about, why we're here, and what our assignment is. Amen, amen. Turn over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Can you say amen to that? Making some noise. Y'all seem kind of quiet on me tonight. Yeah. Amen. Hit the person next to you. Just punch them. Good gracious. Make sure they're awake. Just start something. Amen. Watch this. I won't even break into all that. We can start here at verse 11. And he, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. The fivefold ministry. Why? For the equipping of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. Many believers think that only the fivefold ministry is supposed to do the work of the ministry. Misnomer. We're all called to do the work of the ministry. The fivefold ministry is called to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Pastor, that's why we pay you to come and do the work of the ministry. With so-and-so in the hospital, when somebody need prayer, I'm a call to, what a pastor at? Wrong. I'm supposed to train you to do that. You're at home with Big Mama, not me. You're home with your bad kid, not me. Psych. Watch this. So, number one, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Number two, for the edifying. That word is where we get our word edifice. It means building. For the building up of the body of Christ. For the building up of the body of Christ. Making us strong, encouraging us. Who does that? The body does that. You build up each other, right? How long do we do that? Till we all, say all, come to the unity of the faith and of the epinosis, the knowledge of the Son of God. The full, complete knowledge is what that word means. Till we all, the whole body, comes into the full and complete knowledge of Jesus. To a perfect man, till we become a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When's that going to happen? When Jesus comes. You ain't gonna get to one day, well, I've got it all. I know everything, Pastor Lee. Nobody does. That's when Jesus comes. So he's saying, you're going to do this until I come. Why? That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. He's saying, you need the fivefold ministry to keep you from getting deceived by the world. And again, I can't reiterate this, how true this is, that the church is so discipled by the world. They get their news more from CNN than they do the good news of the Bible. And the news will lie to you. Do not believe the news, particularly CNN. I'm just telling you what I know. I'm just telling you what I know. They are very, very biased. And I'm not going to get into that, but I'm just trying to tell you, if you get what you believe is going on in the world by the news, you're missing it. They will lie to you. Okay, all right. But why the fivefold ministry is here? So that we don't get deceived, so that we grow up. Say grow up. Grow up. All right. Hit the next one for me, please. But speaking the truth in love may do what? Grow up in all things. Grow up in marriage. Grow up in raising children. Grow up, right? Into him who is the head, Christ. Everything, again, surrounds around Christ. Go to the next one. Or is that the left? Yeah. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Say, I've got a part to do. Watch what you doing your part does. Causes growth of the body for the edifying or building up of itself. When everybody does their part, the body becomes strong. When the body doesn't understand what their part is, the body can't grow and be strong. Y'all get it? So that's why we have to talk about this. And so we talked about that you have been gifted because God needs your gift here as well as he needs your gift out in the world. He needs it somewhere because he needs you as a representative for Christ on that job. He needs someone there with healing. The Bible doesn't say fivefold ministry, go lay hands on the sick. It says, and the believer shall lay hands on the sick. Are y'all with me? Not the fivefold ministry. That's our part of our two because we are part of the body of Christ. But you at work with people that are sick. Not me. You are. And that's why you're there. Come on, somebody. Not the only reason, but that's part of why you're there. Y'all get it? Say amen right there. Y'all looking kind of like y'all had some bad chitlins before y'all got here. All right? Let's move on. All right? Okay. Four C's of the fivefold ministry. Four C's of the... Let me read this to you real quickly. I did this in the first service, and it really shed some light. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, New King James. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The reason that the church has the same problems that the world has, and the same rate of divorce, the same rate of pregnancy out of wedlock, the same exact stuff, is because we haven't grown up spiritually. We live by the world's system and not the word system. We're not living above only and not beneath. We're not living that way because we just haven't been trained. That's not shade, and putting down people. I'm just saying we've got to learn. That's why you are sitting here. Are you with me? But watch what Paul writes here. He explains the whole purpose of the fivefold ministry. Watch what he says here. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal." Carnal just means fleshy, right? "As to babes in Christ." The whole point of the fivefold ministry is to help the church grow up. He said, "But I couldn't speak to you like adults." He said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able." That's strong. "For you are still carnal, for where," in other words, "you live according to the flesh, not according to the word. For where there is," and he gives some of the signs of that, "for where there is envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Listen to that verse right there, behaving like mere men. That says we're not mere men and women. Are y'all with me? Mere men and women are out there in the world that don't have Christ. But he said, you're living like them. Is that a strong saying? Go to the next verse for me, please. "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" Right? Fussing over church, who's in charge? "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed." He said, you believe because of one of us. "As the Lord gave to each one," right? "I planted," Paul says, "Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase." Stop looking at us anyway. We're just doing what we're supposed to do, right? So then neither he who plants is anything or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." He said, look, we're just doing what we're born to do. We're doing our responsibility, what we're supposed to do to the body of Christ. He said, and we're going to be rewarded for that. Why is he saying that? Because you got a part to do, and you're going to be rewarded for that as well. Look at the next one. "For we are God's fellow workers." Say, we are God's fellow workers. All right, we're co-laborers with Christ, it says in Colossians. "You are God's field, and you are God's building." You are God's building. Remember this? The Bible describes how Christ is the cornerstone and the apostles, 12. You see it in Revelation chapter 21, verse 14, that the apostles are the foundation. Christ is the cornerstone, the apostles are the foundation, and then we're the stones built on that. We all form the body or the building of Christ, the house of God, he calls it, right? He says, "according to the grace of God, which was given to me." So he's saying here, I've got a unique grace to be a founding father of the church. He said, that's my unique grace. According to the grace which was given to me as a wise, what kind of builder? Master builder. That's Paul's describing his gift. I'm a wise master builder. Building what? The body of Christ. "I have laid the foundation." I believe he is one of those foundation apostles that the Bible talks about in Revelation. He says, "But watch what he says. He says, I laid the foundation, but another builds on it. But let each one," back up, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. What is he just talking about here? He's talking about he's part of the body of Christ just like everybody else. He's doing his part. Don't look at me and my part. Look at you and your part. Because we each have a part to do that we are going to be rewarded for or not. Are you with me? "But let each one take heed how he builds on what I'm laying the foundation on." Right? Not what he builds, but how he builds. Do y'all realize that there are many ministries that are built by man and not by God? That are even mega. That are built on a personality and not necessarily on God's will. Are you with me? He describes that. Watch this. Let's go on. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid," which is what? Jesus Christ. He said the foundation is Jesus. He said, be careful how you build on that foundation of Jesus. Are y'all with me? Do y'all get what he's saying right here? So Jesus is the foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, all of us are to build on this. All of us make up the house of God. We're all lively stones. 1 Peter chapter 2 says we're all stones in this house of God. Each of us have a part to play. If a brick is missing out of your house, there's going to be a hole there. He says, now if anyone builds on this foundation, look at these articles here, with gold, silver, precious stones, look at these, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. He said, depending on how you build on this foundation of Christ, it's going to become crystal clear what you built with. You get what he's talking about? He's talking about your life. For the day, with a capital D, that day is the day that we all, each, will stand before God. Look at, he describes it here. He said, each of us are called to be a body, in the body of Christ, and do a part, be a part of this building. He said, and the day will become clear how you built on it. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what? Fire. And the fire will test each one's work, what? Work, what they did with what they were given. Do y'all get this? So the gravity of this is, it's more than just showing up at church. He's saying, no, you've been given a task. And Paul said, I'm doing my part. Don't worry about that. You need to do your part, because you're going to stand before him too. Not for what I did, but for what you did, right? He said, and your work will be revealed by fire. Let me explain that. Can y'all back up a couple verses? Yes, right there. Gold, what happens when gold gets in fire? Real gold, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the one that's on your neck and you go in the shower and it just starts turning brown. Black, like, what's going on? The impurities come forth. That, they put it in fire to bring out the impurities. Same with silver. Precious stones, they're chisels. You get it? They're going from level to level like this. But what happens when wood gets on fire? It burns up. What about hay? Quicker. How about straw? Even quicker. So he's showing us this hierarchy of work. What you did with your life, was it built? Now, wood always represents flesh, mankind. If you built the work on you, you went to work just for you. You did the ministry just for you. You get what I'm saying? You did it just to get the glory that's in it. He said, when you stand before Christ, your work is going to be tested by fire. Will it come forth as gold, or will it be burned up? Watch, he reads it, he says it. I don't have to describe it. Go to the next verse, please. He says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Next. If anyone's work which he built has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. What is he saying? This is not a matter of salvation. This is a matter of what you did with the salvation. Come on, somebody. Do y'all see it right here in the Bible? So again, our life is more than just showing up at church on occasion when we feel like it and doing whatever we want to do. God is saying, there's much more to this. You play a vital role in the whole house of God. And what you did with that, y'all heard that song, only what you do for Christ will last. Yes. That's where they derived that. Amen? Go to the next one, or is that the last one? Yeah. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Now, again, he's tying all this together. He said, no, you're not just, you're a carrier of God at work. You're the representation of the kingdom of heaven right there at work. Now, that doesn't mean going wearing some Air Jesus's, I'm going to heaven and you're not, on the back, your screensaver says, I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell. No, I'm not talking about, we read it last week, right? We read it last week, last week, I think, where it says, go in with a smile. Go in and do your job the best. Go in and work hard. Go in and work like you're working for the Lord. That's all that God is trying to say. I got you there. You're working for me. Amen? So when we're, okay, all right, I covered all that last week. Okay, did y'all see that? Let's see. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Next, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Now, that's hard. I don't even understand all that. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And God is just saying, listen, I'm very serious about the body of Christ, the house of God. Don't defile it. That's in the New Testament. This is not back in Deuteronomy or something. This is the New Testament. So do y'all get, it's a serious situation. What we do as a believer in the body of Christ, and that's why we have to, as leaders, deal with some of the junk that's going on at church. We have to. Oh, and you'll see why the fivefold ministry has to deal with it. All right. Okay, let's move on. That's all I wanted to do there. Okay, so four C's of the fivefold ministry. Number one, our calling is calling. Two, character. Number three, competence. Number four, chemistry. And that's what I want to cover tonight. The fivefold ministry is not a job, it's not a career, but a calling. It's a calling, the fivefold ministry. This is not, you just don't come and get an application and work in the ministry. Right. It's not working out at the plant. I think I need to be preaching. This will kill you if you're not called to do it. And if you don't have ministry to the Lord right, ministry to the body right, ministry to the lost right, you're disqualified right off the bat. You can't even come to church, but I want to run to church. Come on, what? Because people think that this has glitz and glamour to it. That's the folks on TV. And you know, anybody who's called makes whatever they do look easy. Have y'all noticed that? If you're born to do something, it looks easy when they do it. So many people get deceived and thinking, well, I need to do that. Mm-mm. You're all called to the ministry. Don't quit your job, though. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. So calling. It requires a calling. Let me show you that in the scriptures. Look over at Galatians chapter 1. And in fact, every epistle, when he opens up his epistles, every epistle to the church and every epistle to his ministers that he's training, he opens them up with who he is and how he's called. Every epistle. Watch this. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul saying, listen, I'm an apostle and you didn't appoint me to be that. God told me to do this. Now, of course, in today's environment, that can get very dangerous because there's a whole lot of self-appointed apostles and bishops. So he gives us instruction about that as well. But y'all see this? And the real interesting thing is, this is just extra stuff here, but if you look at every epistle that Paul wrote, and Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, but his first epistle, that's, if you go in the order of the books, the first one is the book of Romans, right? Look how he opens up Romans. Just flip with me real quickly, Romans chapter 1. I want to show you something. Paul, look what it says. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel. He's describing his call here, which he promised through the prophets and his holy scriptures concerning Jesus' son. And then he always makes this statement. He usually says, let me see if it's in this one. Yes, down in verse 7. Says who he's writing it to all who are in Rome. So the church at Rome is who he's writing to, right? Beloved of God, called to be who? Saints. Look what he says. Grace to you and peace from God. When he writes to the church, a church epistle, he always says grace and peace to you. Grace and peace. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Peace means nothing missing, nothing lacking. Irene in the Greek, shalom in the Hebrew. So he says grace and peace to you. Every epistle to the church. Look at Corinthians. You'll see the same thing. I won't belabor it. We already read 1 Corinthians, right? Maybe we didn't. But Paul, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul called to be an apostle. He says that every time. Through what? The will of God. And he's talking, one of his other brothers are with him, Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called, look at verse 3, grace to you and peace, right? So Paul has all these, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, that's written to the church at Galatia, Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, right? Philippians, the church at Philippians, it all opens the same way, grace and peace, Colossians, the book of Colossians, Thessalonians, same thing to the church, right? Until then, he has these other books that are written to people. Timothy. Timothy is a pastor that he's training, right? He's training Timothy. He's training Titus. He opens those books a little bit different. Watch what he adds to the ministry's introduction. You'll see why he does it here, and I'm explaining it. Watch this. Look at Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, same way, of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, to Timothy, a true what? Son in the faith. Look what he says to him, though. Grace, mercy, and peace. To the body, he says grace and peace, but to every pastor, he says grace, mercy to you, and peace. Why? Grace is you get from God what you don't deserve, right? We get healing we didn't earn. We get righteousness we didn't earn or deserve. Mercy is you don't get what you do deserve. He said to the pastors, you need mercy. Why? Because of the people you got to deal with. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. Why? Because it's such a hard job. Come on, somebody. And so Timothy, Titus, these Philemon, all these books are written to people that he set over the church. He's an apostle, a sent one. Amen? All right, y'all get that? That was just extra. Amen. So turn on over to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. Every pastor, every elder, Paul calls them any kind of overseer in the fivefold ministry. He calls them either a bishop or an elder, an overseer, because they've been called to the body of Christ, but to oversee and be responsible for the body of Christ. Are y'all with me? Okay, so watch what he says here in Acts chapter 20, Paul writing. He says, so guard yourselves. Luke is the writer, but Paul's the narrator. He says, so guard yourselves, body, the fivefold ministry, guard yourselves and God's people. So you see the calling? It's to guard ourselves and God's people, though, right? Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has what? Appointed you as elders. The Holy Spirit appointed you. He said, but listen, it's a higher calling. Not only do you have responsibility for you, now you're responsible for that body. Serious call. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. Amen. Come on. When your kids get in trouble at school, who do they call? They call the parents. The parents need to be taking some responsibility. And that's, come on. Isn't it right? Now, irresponsible parents, come on. Teachers know. I ain't do that. Please. Are y'all with me? But y'all see that it's a higher level of calling. It's a higher level of responsibility. There is not some biblical immunity when you're in the fivefold ministry. Oh, yeah, we could just do what we want. Like, no, no. You are called to a higher level. Do you remember this? Moses was a picture of the pastor, of the leader, and he didn't make it in the promised land. Not because of what he did wrong. It was what he did to the people. He got angry at the people because they were buck wild. And he had 2.5 million people that was turning him out on a daily basis. And you watch through if you read through it, he's constantly like, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you give them? I did not bring these people out of Egypt. Why did you bring them out and put me over him? He's fussing and complaining the whole time. And then God tells him, hit the rock, bring water out of the rock to feed the people, give the people water. He did. The second time, though, God says, speak to the rock this time. He's like, I'm tired of these people. Bam! And hit the rock out of anger. And God said, whoops, you just blew it. You don't get to go into the promised land because of how you acted in front of the people. A pastor's behavior in front of the people is critical. Are y'all listening to me? Not everybody can just be in the ministry. Amen? And you have to test that. Just don't sit up in anybody's church. All right, come on. Are y'all with me? Look over at Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. Titus, again, that's another one that he's tutoring to the ministry. Look what this, he says, the reason, verse 5, he said, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Paul said, what I wanted you to see here, and we see it all through the book of Acts, but pastors and elders, they're not self-appointed. Paul wasn't even self-appointed. In the book of Acts chapter 13, we can turn there if you want to, but Paul had went away, you know, Paul, remember the whole road to Damascus? God had called Paul, and he went blind. Remember, he had scales over his eyes for so many days, and then God sent him, this man, to a regular believer named Ananias. Not a pastor, not an elder, nobody, just a regular person who ministered to him. Laid hands on him. He said, lay hands on him, and the scales are going to fall off his eyes. Paul went away for 3 years just learning the word. Then he went to the church at Antioch, and he sat in the church of Antioch for a year being ministered to. And watch what happened. No pastor just jumps up and say, I'm starting a church. We didn't jump up and say, we're starting this church. We went to our pastors. We went to our pastors. Honestly, years ago, I grew up in World Harvest Church, Rod Parsley's church in Columbus, Ohio. Rod Parsley laid his hands on me. I was prophesied to by Lester Summerall. Y'all ever heard of Lester Summerall? Lester Summerall at our church and prophesied to me and said, you're called to be in the ministry. Rod Parsley, the ministry staff, laid hands on me, and I started to work there in the ministry. Are y'all with me? And then Pastor Clint Brown was there, and he was a music director. I fell all off, went through divorce, all kinds of stuff happened in my life, right? And ended up hooking up again with Pastor Clint Brown, who is now pastoring in Orlando, Florida. We went to Orlando, Florida, worked there for him. He laid his hands on us. He prayed over us and sent us out. We didn't just leave and say, we're going to start a church. He and the elders laid hands on us. The church prayed for us and sent us. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Now, I love Pastor Brown. Pastor Brown and his ministry went through some stuff. Are you with me? So we didn't stay. All right. I love Pastor Clint. He is still today one of my good friends, but he and his wife went through a divorce and some stuff went on in the ministry. You got it? And so we didn't think it was wise to just stay under that umbrella because it brought, you got what I'm saying? And you'll see it in the scriptures here when I'll show you all that. But and so now we are submitted to Dr. Ronnie Goines in Dallas, Texas. He's a man of God that we love. And the first thing he asked me, how long have you been married? And so we've submitted our life. We're connected with several ministries. But who I give my life account to is Dr. Ronnie Goines at Koinonia Church in Arlington, Texas. And he's a man of God, a faithful man of God. And many of my pastors all here, they all know him because they've all flown down to Dallas and been tutored by him as well. Can you say amen? All right. Oh, let me just show you, because many people think that Paul just decided to do this because of the road to Damascus. Look over in Acts chapter 13 real quickly. Is this helping you? This will help you because I know that many people, you know, Paul said that fivefold ministry is to help people not get deceived by junk. And we've had it in this church where people just start grabbing them, some people around. I'm called to the ministry. We know they're not. You got it? We know they're not. They're just rebels. That their job didn't work out and I'm their source. You get what I'm saying? There's a pool of people here. And so you start getting influenced and start gathering people and run off and start a church. And I've seen a number of people do it. And, you know, I'm part to blame because I didn't do this, what I'm doing right now in discipling you, and to show you how this works. But look over in Acts chapter 13. Look in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch. We'd have to read the prior chapter to see what was going on. But there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and who? Saul. That's Paul. All right? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and who? Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they did what? Sent them away. So Paul didn't just jump up and say, I'm going to do this. Paul was laid hands on by the elders and the prophets and the leaders at the church of Antioch. They laid his hands on him and sent him out. You must be a pastor, must be sent out. Hallelujah. All right. Character. All right, that's calling, right? And y'all get that? Because when you're here, if you're here, now, and how God has made the church to work is that the church should raise up their own pastors and leaders. The church should raise them up. How? First, we see your faithfulness to your ministry to the Lord. Second, your faithfulness in ministry to the body. Thirdly, your zeal in ministry to the lost. You get it? Then we recognize, we start seeing people who are faithful in those types of things, and we want to give them more responsibility. Are y'all with me? And those are the people that we want to make deacons. Those are the people that we want to put, you know, and where we're going here at Destiny is having small groups where you'll begin to minister to different people. Leaders will, and those who show themselves qualified with character, et cetera, et cetera. You'll see some of the qualifications here. Are you with me? But everybody can't do that. Everybody can't do that because they haven't gotten those first three areas of ministry intact yet. Y'all get that? Amen. That's no shade. It's just what it is. We're all supposed to be doing a part to build up the body of Christ. Amen. Character. Qualifications of a minister. We're talking about the fivefold ministry. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And again, all the Timothy, Titus, Philemon, they're all books written to the people he was training. training to be pastors. So when you read that whole book, it's all to pastors, but it can be for the whole body. You get what I'm saying? Amen. Timothy, watch this. Timothy, we're in chapter 3, verse 1. I'm reading the NLT for simplicity. It says, this is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be an elder, he desires an honorable position. He said, yes, an honorable position. So an elder must be a man whose life is above reproach, not caught up in junk. Come on, watch this. He must be faithful to his wife. Faithful to his wife, not caught up with secrets. Come on, somebody. All right, and there's, okay, without putting shade, but you see why the qualifications are. We have to put ourselves under people that this stuff is intact. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And people miss it. Everybody can miss it, so that's no shade. You get what I'm saying? Please hear me the right way, because I don't want anybody to run out of here saying, Pastor, put down somebody. I'm not putting down anybody, but I just do want to protect my ministry and follow the word. Amen. Amen. So an elder must be a man whose life is above reproach, and that doesn't mean he's a perfect person, because there isn't any. All right? He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control. Come on, wouldn't y'all have a problem if I'm around sleeping with the women or sleeping with the men? Say amen. That should be a problem. But that goes on in church. Pastors. All right? And you need to run when stuff like that comes out. You get it? He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his house. Skip that one right there. I don't like that one. But no. So many of my leaders know. We used to have people in our house all the time. We did. We'd have these big parties at our house. Wouldn't we, babe? Didn't we? Y'all know. We'd have people all over our house. We'd have the big staff party, leadership party at my house. Have it catered by a company. Have people. It was all beautiful. Till people started getting real familiar, like, showing up at our house and then looking at stuff like, I bet you my tithe about that lamp. It's like, you know what? We're going to have to cut this foolishness out. Can't have people coming up in my house anymore. Come on. Now, guess you got it, what I'm saying. I don't mind that too long. Okay, when your mama leaving, Shanae? Psych. Let's just play. Okay, where was I? Let's skip that one. And he must be able to teach. Able to teach. Y'all see that? He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. Okay. You ain't shocked at that, are you? Heavy drink. He must not. Don't skip not. Oh, yeah, he must be a heavy drinker. Yes! Stop it. Now, keep in mind, Middle Eastern, have you ever been to, like, Italy or been in other parts of the world? I mean, the kids drink wine. It's just a normal cultural thing. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? And certain parts of the world, go to Germany, and beer is like the regular drink. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's normal. So so the Bible is talking about that kind of thing. Some cultures, that's just wine every meal, right? But so you get it. Here, it's in the United States, it's taken a little bit differently. But again, wine isn't a sin, or drinking isn't a sin. It's drunkenness that's a sin. Now, see, that's a very dangerous thing to say, because some of y'all ain't got no good sense. And, you know it is. You know what it is. All right? Some people don't ever need to touch alcohol. Never. Say amen right there. Uh-huh. All right, let me move on. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. Three things. I heard this teacher saying it. He said, many people think that the ministry is glamour, gold, and girls. No, he's teaching that, you know, people think, oh, it's glitz. There's all these women in the church. So, and there's 16 things that he describes in Timothy that are all based on character. And he's talking about, don't mess with the women, don't get caught up in money, and don't look for it for your own glory. Those three things. All right? He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. Now, let me just say this about that. Kids in your household, once they grow up and go out on their own, many kids go buck wild. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can kill them, but, you know, once they move. I mean, you'd have a jail ministry after that, but you get what I'm saying? That's what he's talking about in your household, having children respect. For if a man, now I am blown away today at the number of unruly kids in the house. And that's why we're going to be starting some parenting classes. If your kids talking crazy to you, y'all can't have that. You get what I'm saying? They're getting ready to go on the track to death, either by you or somebody out there. Come on, somebody. If a man cannot manage his own household, think of this. If a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? You get that? He's saying, come on, you think you got drama at home, try the church. If you can't manage your drama in the four walls of your house, don't even think about it. Come on, if you can't get your kids to submit and get your whole household in order, there's no way you can manage the household of God. Y'all see what he's saying right there? An elder must not be a new believer because he might become proud. That's that glitz, girls and gold, right? And the devil would cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. In other words, y'all get what he's saying. He's got to have a decent reputation. Come on, y'all, the world don't need to say, oh, that dude is stinking. I saw him up in the club. Didn't I see Pastor Stokes over there dropping it like it's hot? Dude had a whole bottle of tequila drinking it. Come on, that is not good. I'm making that up for people who ran out of here and who were sleeping and woke up, heard me saying that, like, what? In the same way, now watch, deacons are helpers. Watch the qualifications of deacons here. And deacons really are every area of ministry that's a leader. When you're a leader, you are now a deacon. You're helping people. Now you get what I'm saying? It's the same qualifications. All right? In the same way, deacons must be, and that just means a helper, a servant helper, right? And that's a leader. In the same way, deacons must be well-respected and have integrity, not run a game. Come on, somebody. Oh, God. I can tell y'all so many stories. Ugh, I won't even do it. We'll be here all night. They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money, borrowing money from the church, people, and never paying it back. A few people had that happen already. I can see y'all like, yep. They must be committed to the mystery of faith now revealed and must live with a clear conscience. Come on, somebody, not running game, secrets, secret affairs, secrets with this and all that junk. Before they are appointed as deacons, watch this, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. Y'all see that? In the same way, the deacons' wives must be respected and not slander others. He says, make sure the wife, too, has got it together. Now, she's a mess. It's going to be some mess. Y'all see that? Must be respected and must not slander others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. Faithfulness. Y'all notice this. Faithfulness. 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 Again, you disqualify yourself if you haven't got that vertical ministry right. You're not serving in the church right? Then you definitely don't have a heart for the lost. You're disqualified for the fivefold ministry. A deacon, a leader, right? In the same way, wives must be, they must exercise, okay, is that it? A deacon must be faithful to his wife. Mm-hmm. He must manage his children and household well. There we go, same thing again. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus. I love that passage right there. As they stay faithful, they'll have increased confidence in faith. I was sharing with somebody today. I said, you know, all of us have issues with our flesh, but I have an unfair advantage because part of my job is studying the Word. If everybody in the church would get up and get into Proverbs, spend time with God on a daily basis, you would not have half of the problems with your flesh that you have. All of us have flesh issues. All of it. Come on, can anybody say amen to that? Amen. But your flesh is different than mine. Amen. You might want weed. I don't want any weed. I don't want any drugs. I've never done that. But I'm not putting shade on anybody else who does. And whatever your thing was, you get what I'm saying? All of us have to deal with that. But if we don't get in the Word on a regular basis, if we're not hearing the Word on a regular basis, if we're not fellowshipping with God on a daily basis, you're not going to be able to deal with that. The Bible says, if you walk by the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh doesn't go away. You just won't fulfill it. Walking in the Spirit will cause you not to fulfill it. But it's going to be there. Are you with me? Have y'all figured that? There is no good thing in the flesh. Paul said it. There isn't any good thing in it. But it's your lifestyle and the habits that you put in place that will avail you to more junk or not. You get what I'm saying? Now, because I get in the Word, now because I want to study, it's my call, but I get up early and I do this on a daily basis because it's part of my routine now. You've got to make the Word in this part of this life a part of your lifestyle, or you're going to always face, always going to be going through a divorce, always going through drama, always, it's real relationship with Christ. Amen? All right, those, okay, all right. Next, where are we at? Okay, jump over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're still talking about character. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. And now, a word to you who are elders. Again, elders are pastors, anybody in the fivefold ministry. All right? Pastors, bishops, he calls them bishops in some translations. In the churches, I too am an elder, this is Peter, and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in this glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you to, you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Do y'all get this? Watch over the flock. So when we say things like, you know, don't get caught up in these types of things, we're not saying it because we're just y'all having fun and we not. That's not it. We're saying this is the way that God said. Now, you again, people can do what they want. You're grown. But our responsibility as a fivefold ministry is to tell you God's way so that you can apply that to your life and live the blessed life as a member of the body of Christ, as the house of God, so you can walk out your purpose. Amen? Amen. And walk into your promises of God. Care for the flock God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, for what you will get out of it. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. He's telling us motives here, right? Don't lord over the people assigned to your care, but lead them how? By your own good example. So again, this is competence. We want to make sure that they're leading by example. We're leading by example. And when the great shepherd appears, that's Jesus, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. He said there is going to be some reward for this when you do it right. Amen. Competence. First C was calling. Can't do this unless you're called. Character. You are disqualified if your character is flawed, right? Now, let me say this about marriage, because in some translations, it's the husband of one wife. And it's not talking about, it's talking to a culture that had polygamy. So in the past, you know, Shanae and I have been divorced, as others, pastors and leaders here, that have been divorced in their past, early on. We haven't been divorced in our ministry. You get what I'm saying? When we stepped into the ministry, it was our prior life to that. You follow what I'm saying? So that's not what he's saying, what he is saying. In fact, I heard some pastor talking about this. This man had told him, he'd asked him, he's got a huge church, and he said, this guy, he wanted to have him as a speaker, and the guy said, yeah, I want to come. He said, but let me just tell you this one thing. He said, you may not want me to come. He said, he's got nervous. He said, what is it? He says, well, I've been married five times. He said, four times before I got saved. He said, okay. He said, how many times have you been married since you got saved, got ministry? He said, just one, my wife now. He said, how many wives do you have? He said, one. He said, yeah, come. Your past life isn't going to disqualify you. Come on, somebody. Amen? So just because you've had a toe-up life from the past doesn't disqualify you from being in the ministry now once you receive the grace of God and get on your feet and get it right. Come on, somebody. Amen? All right, 2 Timothy, we're talking about competence. The whole book of Timothy, 1 and 2, is to Timothy, who's a pastor, right, who's an overseer. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So someone who is called to the ministry must be competent in the word. Competent in the word. Are y'all with me? Amen. If you were going to be a mechanic, hopefully you've gotten qualified. Come on, somebody. If you're going to be a doctor, please get some credentials. If you're going to mess with these teeth, please have a plaque on the wall that I can see when I'm like, eh. I'll be reading the plaque. Don't you read where they went to college? When your mouth is open, can you hand me my glasses? Oh, Ohio State. Yeah, cool. Amen. I don't want you up here just because you like teeth. All right, y'all see that qualified in the word. Look over at Titus chapter 1 again, another pastoral epistle. Titus chapter 1 verse 9, I'm reading the Amplified. He must hold fast to the sure and trustworthy word of God as he was taught it. So he needs to be someone who's leading, who's been taught well in the word so he can teach it well. So that he may be able both to give stimulating instruction and encouragement in sound, wholesome doctrine, and to refute and convict those who contradict and oppose it. You're always, as a pastor, there's always going to be people who raise up and say, I don't believe that. And you can believe whatever you want to. My obligation is to tell you what I believe from the word. You can do what you want to with it. Come on, somebody. Hey. All right, showing the wayward their error. We're supposed to do that. We're confronted with stuff. Well, I believe you can do this. I believe you can do that. Right, believe whatever you want to. It still don't change what the Bible says. All right, but you can't do it here. Okay, you can't stand on my platform doing that foolishness. And you can't work in my children's ministry acting crazy either, because I don't want my kids under your influence. Do y'all get that? Our job, here, let me read these next ones. Let me go. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 17, NLT. Here's why. This is why this is so big. Watch this, y'all. Why Paul writes Hebrews differently, because all his other epistles are to, he's called to the Gentiles. He's called to the Gentile church, but he's a Hebrew. The book of Hebrews, theologians think it's written by Paul or Apollos. Most believe it's Paul, but he opens it completely differently because it's outside of, it's not written like his regular books because it's not really inside of the scope that God called him to specifically. He called him to go to the Gentiles, Peter to go to the Jews, but he wrote a book to the Hebrews because he was a Hebrew and he was a Pharisee. He knew how to reach him, right? So that's what the book, but it doesn't open up like Paul, apostle, because they didn't care. All right, but watch here in Hebrews chapter 13. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. So the leaders should be walking by faith and you should be able to see it in their life. Verse 17, watch this. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls and they are accountable to God. Did y'all see that? They're accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. He says, don't be a knucklehead at church. They're supposed to tell you what's right and wrong. They're supposed to guide you when you get outside the framework of the guidelines. They're supposed to, because they're held accountable for that. Right. Hey, you just made it easy for us when you said, I'm out of here then. We say, woo! Thank you. I ain't going to do it, and I'm out of here. Thank you. Now I ain't got to worry about your craziness. All right. Y'all get what I'm saying right there. That's no shade. That's just some people rebel and praise the Lord. All right. Chemistry. First was calling. Second, character. Third, competence. Fourth, chemistry. Y'all notice this? There is a chemistry that calls you to be here with me. There's something that connects us. It's chemistry. There's you get it. Have y'all sat with some great pastors and been with them, but it just didn't flow with you. There's something that, I'm country just like y'all. We connect. Come on, somebody. When I saw Shanae, the first time I saw her, I was with my boy, Reggie. We were in Columbus, Ohio, and we were at this big bank function, and my buddy called me, and he knew I'd been through a divorce, and I was all brokenhearted, hadn't left the house. I was just crying all the time. He said, Lee, you need to get up out of the house. Come with me to this bank function, right? And he said, my job is having this function. Come on. And as soon as we walked in, man, I saw Shanae with three or four of her girls, you know, how girls hang in a clique. And I was like, oh, it was like I heard angels and harps and music. Everything went in slow motion. She was moving her wavy hair. And back then her hair was down to her butt. And she was just so, and I was like, and I told my boy, I was like, boom, boom, boom. I'm hitting my dude like this. Reg, that girl right there, that could be the next Miss Stokes right there. What? I mean, I'm playing it so much. But we had a chemistry. We still do. You know, there's a connection. Y'all get what I'm saying? Paul talks about this in his chemistry as a pastor, the chemistry that they must have with the people. Watch what he says here because it's great instruction. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. This is for every leader. And this is particularly for you if you have a desire to help us to disciple people, if you want to help us lead in an area, watch what Paul says here. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And the Jews, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Look at the last one. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you. Listen to what he's saying right here. He's saying, the people that I've been sent to, I come down to where they are, and I become them. He says, I'm not going to make myself so high that they don't understand who I am and what I'm saying. Come on, somebody. In a church, you're going to get all kinds of different people. Come on, somebody. Can I talk plainly to you? You're going to get some people who don't have much. You're going to have people who do have much. So to the people who don't have much, don't be high. Don't be flashy to them and saying, what's wrong with you? There's going to be some people who are less stable and some people who are very stable. To the people who aren't stable, don't crush them. Come down to where they are and relate to them and say, yeah, I understand that. I understand that. I've been there. I'm with you. You get what I'm saying? It's having the heart of the people. There are going to be, buckle up, there's going to be some crazy people. You can't be deep to them. You get what I'm saying? They don't know. They don't know. They've had a street life, perhaps. They've had an abusive household. They've come through all kinds of stuff. You can't be just, get out of there. You can't do that. Now you've become offensive to them. You have to come down right where they are and say, baby, I understand where you are. Be tender with people. Be tender with. You don't have to scream and holler to cast the devil out of anybody. You can be very gentle with people. You see what Paul's saying? Whatever the situation is, I came down there so I could relate to him without offense. Close your Bible.